Welcome back to Sheer Truth, Apply Scripture. I am Jordan Shambly, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Cedra Sarton.
We're here.
We're here, and we're doing this.
Yeah. I like doing this.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't know. I used to really hate it,
mm-hmm.
just because...
Really? You used to really hate it?
It was a lot of anxiety for me.
Oh, okay.
I don't feel like I'm a on-air person.
Right.
I feel like I'm so much better behind the scenes. I like to mash the button. I like to push the buttons.
You like to push the
here.
Buttons. Okay.
Yeah, push the buttons, turn the dials, and all that stuff. And that's where I feel like when I first started, I'm like, this is where I belong,
mm-hmm.
over here. You don't see me. You don't hear me. And then I started doing this with you guys,
yeah.
as like just a fill-in person. I was like, okay, I can do that. And the next thing I know, I'm here every time. And I'm like,
yeah,
what is this?
It happened, and you didn't even realize it was happening.
No,
so.
But now
I actually
enjoy it. But there is a time that I did not want to do it with just you.
Right.
Nothing against you.
No, I
But
understand.
I always had this fear that we were going to run out of things to say.
Yeah.
You think we, but like.
As long as the world keeps doing crazy things.
I think
we'll be okay.
I think
we'll have things to talk about.
Then we're set. So, but you know what?
Yeah.
Let's just go ahead and get into the discussion.
Yeah, so what we talked about last time, guys, if you're tuning in and you've listened to us last time, you'll know that we had a discussion about the idea, this phenomenon that's going around, deconstruction.
Yeah, and we've talked about it before,
yes.
like in depth, but we kind of just had some other things to say about
yeah.
it.
Yeah, and so deconstruction, to put it briefly, is basically when you see a Christian or someone who has attended church and has identified as a Christian walk away from the faith. They decided
mm-hmm.
it's no longer for them, and they have all of these like logical seeming reasons why. A person who kind of exemplifies this phenomenon is Joshua Harris,
yeah.
author of I Kiss Dating Goodbye, very influential person in the purity culture movement and all of that. So he walked away from the faith. He announced that he was taking a break from Christianity, and then it became a permanent break.
Which, as believers, we know that that's not how Christianity works.
Right, exactly.
You know, if you become a Christian, it's a life thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just something you do on occasion. It's who you are.
Right.
And that brings me, I wish I had good service right now.
Right.
Because I want to pull up, as many times as I've used this verse.
Uh-huh.
I always like to use Galatians 2:20,
mm-hmm.
Just to myself,
right.
Because in it starts out, I have been crucified in Christ.
Mm, yeah.
And that is what you are supposed to be. You are no longer you, just you and all about you. Your world is about Christ.
Right.
It's about, living to glorify God in all things that you do.
Right.
And,
yeah.
but this is just, this to me is just, that's just one example of someone I think who probably they were not grounded in their faith,
mm-hmm.
but they had some interesting things to say.
Yeah.
Maybe things that sounded really good. I mean,
right.
I actually read his book back in the day.
Yeah. And he had some valid good points, but
I think it all just, he probably just got swept up in it.
Yeah.
You know, people liked his book and he just got swept up in it. And before you know it, you don't know why you're doing what you're doing anymore.
Right.
You're just going with the motions.
Yeah. And so like these people, they can have a lot of reasons for what they do, but eventually it's all down to they don't believe in the gospel. They don't believe Jesus is who he says he is. And they decide to walk away from a faith that they may have been brought up in or been practicing for a while. So
yeah.
that's deconstruction. Now, there is a different thing also, which we would call disentanglement, is where
yeah.
there's no walking away from the faith. There is a reordering of doctrine and theology in your life. So you return to the fundamentals. You say,
yeah.
okay, what is Christianity? I've lived in this religion. I've lived in this belief for a very long time since I was a child, but now it's time for me as an adult to return to those fundamentals to say, what is this thing that we call Christianity? What does it mean to actually follow the Lord?
Mm-hmm.
And then what are these things in my life that might be extras or secondary
yeah.
things that aren't necessarily key points of of the scriptures, but they can still be important things to have opinions on. But again, these are things that Christians can have the grace to disagree on, and that we often do because there are denominations, after all, and we largely get along quite well.
A lot of times it boils down simply to, why do I believe what I believe?
Why do I believe what I believe? Which is an excellent question to ask. And you know what? Even if it leads to, and I mean, I think everyone should be honest about where they are. One of the worst things that could happen, I think, is that someone believes that they are a born-again Christian. They never ask themselves that question, and everyone around them is affirming them in this false sense of security. They reach the end of their lives, and it turns out they weren't.
Okay, so you're painting a picture of me several years back until 2016, actually. Yeah. No, 2017. Mm. Watch me turning on my years.
We're getting old.
Hold up. No. I was raised in church. Mm-hmm. My mom has had me in church since I was a little kid. My dad didn't used to be in church when I was very young, but he came back to Christ and, you know, very involved in church. In fact, he's helped start a church since then.
Yeah.
And so very different person, but my mom had always had me in church. And then when my dad got things on the right path, you know, he also made sure we were in church every time the doors were open.
Right.
So it's not like it's not like someone didn't tell me the truth. I was having the truth spoken to me on a regular basis. But I guess I didn't have a word for it, but I had the same experience, the disentanglement.
Yeah.
When I was in my mid-20s, it was from being here, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not praising just AFA.
Yeah.
It's praising what God has used AFA
That's
to do
good.
For me.
Right.
And that is getting my job here. Mm-hmm. And I got it just because I needed a job that had opportunity for growth.
Mm-hmm.
And I consider myself a believer. I went to church and stuff, I guess.
Sure.
I'd been baptized.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I was a believer.
Yeah.
And I had the opportunity to come here, and I started working here, and then you're surrounded by it every day.
Mm-hmm.
We start our day out every morning
every
with
morning.
A devotion.
Right.
And we meet together, even if the ones who can't be here get to watch online. That way, we are all meeting every day together and stuff, and so it was like constant.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really hard to run away from it then, because there were no quiet moments alone by myself.
Right.
Because I always had someone around me telling me how good the Lord is, or telling me what's going on, or sharing their testimony with me. And then I worked in radio.
Mm-hmm.
So I was hearing
every show, every program. That's what that is.
And then I had to start thinking what I actually believed,
right,
and why I believed it. And in that moment, it was like all this extra stuff just kind of fell away.
Yeah.
And then there was just Jesus.
Yes, exactly. And I think that so many people probably resonate with that to one degree or another. I think there's also people who they grow up in a community or an understanding of what the Bible teaches that can be very legalistic.
Yeah.
And where it's like, in order to be a Christian, you have to do A, B, and C, you know, on top of, you know, faith in Jesus, which, of course, is not a biblical teaching. But a disentanglement for that person would be to revisit the scripture. In fact, this happened in the book of Acts, right? So in the book of Acts, what you had is the gospel spreads to the Gentiles for the first time. Like, the Gentiles never were considered the people of God until this happened. And Gentile believers start, you know, they get filled with the Holy Spirit. They become believers in Jesus. They are baptized. They form their own churches. Well, hot on the heels of the gospel being spread to them come the Judaizers. Now, these people are believers, members of the church at least, who decided that, you know what, they're Gentiles, so they're sort of like halfway Christians. They need to be Jews now as well. And so they would go to these believers, these Gentile believers, and say, you know what? It's great that you have faith in Jesus Christ, but you know what else you need to do? You need to get circumcised. You need to start eating this diet. You need to start observing these feast days, so on and so forth. And they laid the entire law of Moses, not just the moral law, the Ten Commandments, which we should all obey.
Exactly.
But the ceremonial laws, all of those things that were specific to a culture.
Yeah.
and done away with in the new covenant, they were laying all of these on the shoulders of the Gentiles to say, look, this is a condition for your salvation. And of course, as we read in Acts, not Genesis, the council of early church fathers came together and they spoke about this and they decided, you know what, that's wrong. Mm-hmm. That is absolutely wrong. The Gentile believers are not obligated to follow the ceremonial customs of Jewish culture. They are free to be Gentile believers.
Yeah.
And they had a few stipulations to say, basically, look, just stay away from immorality in your culture and you will do well. That's essentially what they said. And so the same thing can happen even today. I think people have this tendency sometimes. They have their favorite secondary issues. They have their favorite, whatever the case may be, this thing that they're very fired up about, this issue that they're very fired up about. And they start placing primary importance upon this thing that is not mm-hmm. primary important. And then they might, start putting this on other people. So some people say, for instance, there is an ongoing debate, even in churches today, about whether or not women should have hair coverings or head coverings.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an ongoing debate. And I think that that's fine. I think we can have grace on this issue, and that if someone believes that, that's fine. If someone doesn't believe it, it's fine.
Yeah.
But there is an ongoing debate. But if someone starts to place primary importance on that, saying, if you don't do this, then you are an unbeliever. You're rebelling against you're living in sin, kind of thing. Then I think that at that point you're placing primary importance on a secondary issue.
Yeah,
and disentanglement might be a remedy.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that I feel like God calls certain people to do.
Sure.
Maybe.
Yeah,
I mean, obviously,
absolutely.
You've never seen me wear a head covering.
No.
I don't know when you would have seen me wear a head covering. But I don't see someone as wearing a head covering as wrong. In fact, that's fine.
Yeah.
And if you go back to other things like the feast and Judaism and stuff, if you want to observe those,
certainly.
I have before.
Yeah, me too.
I think they're good because they're not only are they good, they are important to know about
mm-hmm.
because they all tie in with the life of Jesus, and you can see the story of Christ in these
in these
different feasts. So I think they're good. They're good to observe. I know plenty of other people who observe them regularly just mm-hmm. because they want to. But it's not a situation where I'm like, hey, I don't think you're a real Christian because you don't observe this feast.
You know what? This is really interesting also that Paul and Peter and the apostles at that time did not forbid the observing of these things.
Yeah.
In fact, they continued themselves because they were culturally Jewish. They continued to observe these things. They just didn't place that same they didn't place that burden upon the shoulders of Gentile believers because they understood it wasn't for salvation.
Yeah.
It was.
In fact, I would encourage believers
mm-hmm.
because Jesus himself came from Jewish
mm-hmm.
people. God picked the Jewish people for his people for a reason. I encourage you to study these things
mm-hmm.
at least to know about them to know what they mean. So I mean, I obviously have nothing against them.
Yeah. Well, and also a pretty famous historical account of disentanglement actually is very timely right now because we're coming up on what some would call Halloween, what some others would call the Reformation Day.
Yeah, I see it all over Facebook.
Reformation Day. And,
happy Reformation Day.
Yeah, for all of the Protestants listening, this is our holiday, especially for Lutherans in Germany. But Reformation Day, this is when we remember Martin Luther taking a stand against the excesses, against the unbiblical stances of the Catholic Church at the time. There were these mm-hmm. These really questionable things happening, of course, but also just directly unbiblical things related to salvation. People were allowed to purchase their way out of purgatory and, purchase their way out of hell and basically pay money for their salvation.
Yeah.
And Luther, a very, very devout monk, And he was Catholic, by the way. He was a very devout monk. He was bothered so deeply in his soul at just his own sinful state. He ran to the scriptures. He pleaded with God to show him the truth. And God did. He showed him that, hey, salvation is through faith alone, in mm-hmm. Christ alone. And so with that, standing on that, Martin Luther, among with many others, I mean, he was just one of many, many great leaders during this movement. They stood up and they sparked what we call the Reformation, which was a massive disentangling from what was in their day these misapplications of doctrine, as well as just unbiblical doctrine from the Roman Catholic Church. And interesting to point too is that not all of these reformers agreed with each other. If you compare the writings of Luther and Calvin and Zwingli and all of these guys, they had a lot of differences.
And that's what's going to happen when there's humans involved.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure there are things that me and you have discussed and we didn't come down to like 100% agreement.
Right. We didn't have any shouting matches, but
no, we didn't want to get fired. No.
But yeah, there's grace to disagree on secondary issues.
Yeah.
But really, what I'm trying to say is that throughout church history, there have been times when it was necessary for Christians to disentangle mm-hmm. their faith from just an accumulation of extras that have piled on over generations.
Yeah.
And we need to be careful of that.
Yeah. The thing is this is like a repeated thing in history. The church starts slipping away. I mean, it was happening before Christ came. The Jewish people, how many times did they turn from Christ?
Oh, goodness.
I mean, turn from God.
Yeah.
They turned from God. God would usually send someone to capture them and have them as slaves or you know, and then God would send a man or somebody to draw them back through that suffering. And this is continued throughout history over and over again, and it is still going today. I mean, I think there are a lot of people, and we've discussed this earlier. There are a lot of people right now that I hear all the time that are talking about how bad things are, and they're right. They see the church turning away or turning to sinful things.
Yeah.
This is not new.
It is not. I mean, if anything, we should expect this.
Yeah.
This is simply our turn to take up that torch of leading people back to the foundations and tearing down whatever structure was erected that should not have been erected. Returning to those foundations and rebuilding is something that, like you said, it goes beyond the New Testament, back into the Old Testament. I mean, my goodness, the people of God, whether they were the Hebrews of old or the New Testament church today, nothing marks them, you know, on a human basis. Nothing marks them more than just being really fickle, changing their minds, not being consistent at all in their faith, and having to be over and over and over disciplined by God lovingly, sometimes a little harshly, but always deservedly that way, to return to Him, return to the truth, and we need to be aware of that. I think where sometimes we can be tempted to say, "Oh, that was the old days," you know, that was the old. You know, and that's not going to happen anymore. And there's these, you know, little cases here and there, but that's not my church. You know, that's not my denomination. And so I'm safe from that. But I think that we need to be aware as well of what is going on in our own church and what is going on in our own lives, and having this like little mini reformation ourselves as often as possible, just to check in. How are we doing spiritually? What do we believe is important? And bring it always back to bear with the scriptures. What do the scriptures actually say versus what have we just gained impressions of off of other people around us?
And I can say for people like us that live in a country like what we do, where you're allowed to worship and go to whatever church you want to, there are people sitting in your church right now that are just going through the motions. Mm-hmm. They're not on fire for God. They are not in the Word like they should be. Is that you?
Right. No, that's good. No, that's good.
If you're
good.
Hearing that,
yeah,
and you listen to this station just because there's a Christian stamp on it,
uh-huh,
and maybe you agree with the news you hear,
mm-hmm,
but you're listening right now. Is that you?
Right.
And have you turned away from God? Have you become complacent?
That's such a good point to bring up, because I really feel like other factors in our culture, the media, the news, social media, it's training us and programming us to look at other people,
mm-hmm,
and point our fingers at other people. And there is never any call to self-examine.
Mm-hmm.
And self-examination, I mean, what is repentance? How does that begin? How do you know what to repent of if you haven't examined yourself? If you're constantly examining other people, oh, you know what they should repent of. You know, I know what that church should change. And you never, ever look at where you are.
Yeah.
You never, ever look at the state you're in. Then you're the problem.
Yeah, when it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that you're in that all.
Yeah, that's everybody.
And, yeah, and I'm just, as someone, I've been there. I've been sitting in pews and churches my entire life,
yeah,
just completely deaf to the Word.
Absolutely.
And and I just sat there because I had to.
Yeah, me too.
there wasn't given an option, which is not bad. I'm glad my parents had me in church.
That's good.
Because they're God, like,
mm-hmm,
kept driving. Like, I kept the words, like, no matter how hard I tried, the words kept seeping in slowly over time, and mm-hmm, till I couldn't run away from it anymore.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So in my family growing up, mom and dad were very intentional about scripture memory.
Yeah.
And so they had these like these CDs that they would play. Yes, CDs. It was the 90s. It was the early 2000s. We had CDs back then. I'm pretty sure mom and dad
didn't
still
have cassette tapes.
No, we did that too. And I'm pretty sure mom and dad still use cassette tapes.
Whatever works.
Yeah, whatever works. But we would listen to scripture memory songs a lot. And I could still remember the tunes even now.
Oh, we did those too.
And so obviously, as a little sinful little brat myself growing up, I was always like the good kid. You know, I was well behaved. You know, I kind of prided myself on that growing up, but inwardly very, very rebellious in my own way. And so by the time I was 16, which is when, I mean, I had been baptized at six, but when I was 16 is when I was actually, you know, born again. All of those things came to bear. All of that piled up years worth of songs, scripture memory. It was all an investment towards that. And I think that, you know, if, say, for instance, you have somebody in your life who seems to be completely deaf towards the gospel, completely just stone cold towards anything you have to say about God, don't let that discourage you, because who knows? The Holy Spirit could move on them, open their hearts, and all of a sudden everything that you've piled on top of them falls down into their hearts, and there's a result from that. So I would say, please be encouraged. Don't be discouraged. That I know we kind of went off on a tangent there, but I feel like it was good. So something we could ask ourselves, how can church leaders really make sure, and I want to say this humbly because I'm not a church leader. I attend a church and I'm 30 years old. My goodness, who am I to say anything to anybody? But let's throw this out there for people to think about. How could church leaders do better or be more intentional about making sure that within their congregations, there is always an emphasis on looking to the foundations of Scripture, looking to what actually Christianity is? While we do have secondary issues and we have to have opinions on these things, and it's important, how do we maintain a tighter grip on those primary issues as churches? One thing I think is investing in young people at the church.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
I really think so. Not to say that, you know, older Christians are not important, because they are, definitely.
Oh, they're very important.
Very important. But I do think if we're thinking about long-term effect on our culture, investing in the young people at church is very important. Catechizing, talking about apologetics, but more than that, reading the scripture to them.
And going to slightly older young people.
Yeah.
don't forget that once they become adults, it's like they hit 18, you send them off to college, and then you are, and then you stop focusing on them, and then you're wondering why they're leaving, leaving the church so much, and that, and I've seen so many churches that have huge children programs, but there's like nothing for the college age group, you know, and I've been in some of the classes where they didn't have a college age group, so I just went to naturally to the next one up.
Yeah.
And it's a bunch of people with kids who are almost as old as me and stuff. And they're not bad classes, but sometimes it's good to be around people you can relate to.
I understand that. Yeah.
And anyways, so don't forget that age group.
Yeah, they tend to fall through the cracks. One thing, too, I will say, no matter what the age group is you're dealing with, welcome challenging questions. I don't know how to even say it. I think shame is kind of strong, but I feel like there are questions that people are afraid to voice.
Yeah.
You know, there are, especially for young people.
Let your personal feelings and emotions completely overwhelm and take over the conversation.
Yeah. Yes. That's good.
Be grounded in the word that you can speak truth to people. And stuff. So, like, someone asks you, like, something like they believe that something is okay that you don't, that's not the time to go on a tangent and start yelling at them.
Yeah.
That's the time to sit down and go, okay, well, why do you believe that? Okay, here's what scripture says about that. And so,
and be willing to explore with them.
Yeah. Like,
because it's not a process. I mean, it is a process. It's not an instantaneous thing. When someone becomes a Christian, they aren't going to all of a sudden become a carbon copy of you and believe everything that you believe because you think it's important. Sometimes people go to different denominations and, you know, that you can have grace and conversations about that. But I think the important thing is, don't be afraid of these conversations and trust God enough and have enough confidence in the truth and scripture to welcome those conversations and to be able to address them appropriately. Now, we went over time. I think that we could probably go for a much longer time than
probably.
This. And we'll probably have a part three. Who knows? but guys, thank you so much for listening. And until next week, continue to share truth and apply scripture.